Hello and welcome to the Twickenham CC podcast. My name is Dan Huff. I'm secretary of the club. With me this evening, I have our traditional team. We have our second 11 skipper, Eugene Berger. Hi, Eugene.
Hi, Dan. How are you doing?
I'm good. You?
Very well, thanks.
Super, super. And making a very welcome return, we have Kev Kavir. Kev, all well?
All good, gents. All good. Good to be back.
Super, super. Lots that we could talk about today, as always. Kev, you were at Nets tonight. Did all go well? Plenty of people there?
Yeah, it was decent, actually. It was nice. Obviously, it's a bit of a change this year because we're netting as a club on the green. So we had a grass wicket and the artificial. So, yeah, it was a chance to try both. And when I'd finish and run away to have a beer for the football, there were guys still taking throwdowns and practicing catching through till 8:30, 9 at night, which is always a good sign.
Fantastic. How many were there? Was it 20-odd, 25?
Yeah, probably 20-odd. I think there was still a group down at St James's. So, yeah, we're obviously still split across the two, but, yeah, about 20-odd, I'd say, on the green.
Excellent. Excellent. Good stuff. I should probably start the podcast by saying we had a bit of feedback in the week via our Twitter feed from Kevin Field, Tom Field's dad. He was very entertained by Watsy last week, as we all were. Great to have Steve Watts on board. And he asked what he felt Watts's 1-2-3 would have been in the Britain's Got Talent final. Now, I have to be honest with you, fellas, I didn't watch the Britain's Got Talent final. I don't know if you did. But next time Watsy's on, we will grill him on this because I don't know why it was asked, but Kevin asked it and we appreciate all feedback. So I'm just getting it out there. Any of you guys watch BGT?
No, unfortunately not.
Kev?
No, I saw we will, something, but no.
We will move on. We will move on. Yeah. In other news, well, World Cup's still on. Obviously, it's going to be on for the next 19 weeks. So so plenty of cricket that we could talk about. I'll just get the ball rolling here, guys. We've had some good games, haven't we?
Not really.
Yeah, have your guys got their tickets home yet, Hugh? Or are they waiting a bit?
No, it's been a horrid World Cup for the South African team, unfortunately.
Can I just be? I actually was meaning that as a straight down the line comment. I wasn't having to go SA.
Yeah, I knew you were, Dan. I just I just thought I'd get it out the way nice and early instead of being asked the question. I thought I'd. It's been pretty poor from the South Africans, unfortunately. But yes, to the rest of the games, there's been some fantastic cricket.
Yep. I mean, we might as well start with SA. I mean, I guess we were going to get there eventually, you're right. You don't seem to have had much bowling. Or people keep getting injured, don't they? What's happened?
Yeah, it's interesting that, we selected a bowler who basically came on holiday for a week and a half and has now been ruled unfit and won't play a part in the World Cup. That being Dale Steyn. Obviously a bit sad. The World Cup is poorer for it. It would have been great to have him as part of it. And then now, Ngidi's also injured. He's got a hamstring injury. So we've had to pull in Berhardin, Hendricks, who is the left-arm seamer. He's coming in to replace Steyn. So, yeah, I don't think he can get off the plane quick enough and straight into the team, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Kev, you watched much of the SA games? Have you seen them in action?
Yeah, I've seen a few. I don't want to be too critical of them. I think they haven't really come in firing. They don't seem to have a particularly set plan. I think, like you said, they've been disrupted by injuries. I think Amla's probably one of the old guard that they normally build around. So him being basically taken out by Archer and then missing the next game hasn't helped them at all. But yeah, they sound like they're in a bit of disarray. I saw a piece about kind of this is the end of that era of the Smith, De Villiers, Amla, those greats that are all kind of coming to the end of their careers. And who's replacing it?
I mean, the point with Amla is well made for sure. I mean, he looks like it's the end of the road, doesn't he? I mean, I know he's been sconed and that's always a challenge, but I'm just not feeling it with him. I totally get why, if you haven't got anyone to replace him, you take the punt, but it doesn't feel like it's likely to work. I mean, I did hear a rumour used that AB de Villiers offered to come back and play. Is this right? Or is this a Twitter rumour?
Allegedly it came out, yeah. I mean, there was a bunch of news today that came out about it. Apparently on the eve of the selection, he said to the selectors that he was available for selection, which is, an interesting call. He didn't meet the criteria, i.e. the criteria being you need to have played in South Africa in the provincial side and go through the setup like the rest of the teams had done. So, rules are rules, and wasn't available.
Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough. Did you watch much of today's game, guys? I mean, I have to say, I thought today's game was potentially the most interesting one of the tournament so far. Two good sides. Two sides we'd expect to do something in the longer term. And I thought it was a cracking game of cricket. Did you get to see much of it, West Indies, Australia?
I didn't. I followed it. But yeah, I looked like a good game, being, 37 for 4 and then a decent recovery getting up to 280. Yeah, it definitely looked like it.
Well, I'm hoping none of my colleagues are listening to this because I probably watched pretty much every ball. I found it a really, really good game. Australia and Windies have been kind of pigeonholed as two of the semi-finalists, and it was good to see them going at it. I mean, yeah, it was a fascinating game. Windies, unfortunately, probably got let down by the more senior guys that you wouldn't expect to do that. Dre Russell played an absolutely ridiculous shot.
It's an awful shot, wasn't it? You didn't need to do that. Yeah.
No. And it's the sort of thing that, you know, they've got such young talent in there that what makes them the sort of people you think could make that final four, the final two, is that these guys that played the IPL, that know the pressure situations, know how to get them over the line, can do that. And he just, I think he let them down quite badly there.
I also think, to be fair to the Australians, I don't like being fair to the Australians, but, you know, once in a while, I guess you have to big them up a bit. I thought they dealt with today really well. I thought, 38 for 4 against a decent side. Plenty of teams in this tournament would have got nowhere near 280. They bowl pretty well. I mean, Mitchell Starc looks a right handful. And I just get the feeling that they're the type of side that they will always have someone who stands up when other people have failed. And, I guess that's why they've won so many games of cricket in my lifetime. Just get used to seeing Australia winning, even now, even when they've not got the strongest side going. But I thought it was quite interesting, that the fact that, basically, Coulter Niles not in there for his batting, yet he was superb. Yeah. And that it struck me that if anyone's going to beat India, then Australia might. England might, I suppose. But I thought Australia really set down a marker today, that they've got resilience about them that's going to take some beating.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah. The Pakistan-England game the other day, what do we make of that one? Is it a blip or is this actually, evidence that England might not be up to it?
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, can do. I thought it was their fielding that let them down.
It wasn't very good, was it?
No, when you look at the, when you look at the run difference, what was it, 14 runs or whatever, you look at the difference, catches and fielding. Very simply, both sides batted well. You could argue that maybe England's top order should have scored more runs, but that's cricket. You can't rely on it. You've got the middle order, some of the lower guys to fill in. But you can't blame it on the bowling because it was a very, very good game of cricket.
That's interesting news, because I think people are looking at Moeen Ali got a bit of abuse. I mean, hold on, Stokes played a pretty average shot, and you're chasing 350 for goodness sake. I mean, it's not easy to do. Adil Rashid apparently is the man in 50 over cricket. He only gets 5 overs because he's been smashed out of the attack. I thought it was the bowling that really, I wouldn't say let us down, but 350, mate, that's a lot of runs. You don't win many games with that on as the target you're chasing.
I'd agree with that. I think we've, the England team, where they've excelled is that we've always had a game plan. And we've had a plan of attack, which we stuck to. And, that's been the way the openers bowled, when Rashid comes on, Plunkett bowled in the middle overs. And I felt our selection was all driven around what happened to Pakistan in the first game, which was they didn't like fast bowling up around their nose. So that's what we did. We switched. Archer got frustrated that he kept getting called for wide because he was bowling it 5 feet over the batsman's head. He hasn't bowled like that in any other warm-up games. And then obviously the news broke down.
And the umpires are pretty clear, Kev, aren't they? If it goes above your head, it's wide. Yeah. They're not messing around with that.
Exactly. So, and you can see him getting frustrated over nothing. And then, news breaks that the Pakistani team have had like a 4-hour session just facing short balls. They were ready for it. And, how did they get us in our innings? They bowled a lot of slower balls, they bowled cutters, they bowled traditionally. So I think there's, we probably got a bit lulled into, we'll beat Pakistan how the Windies did, rather than sticking to our plan. But Archer going for 80 off turnovers, that's not what you expect from him. Rashid only bowled 5 overs. They're signs that we didn't have a good day.
Yeah. I mean, I have to be honest, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. A lot of pressure on the home team in any international tournament. England, you know, we're not a bad side. And I do think having a bad day early doors is better than doing well in games that don't, you know, the group games matter. Of course they do, but semi-final is going to matter more. So perhaps this might just channel the focus a bit. And I mean, Scott Newman said on the Twickenham CC WhatsApp group that sometimes, you know, better team wins. And I think Pakistan were the better team on the day, and fair play to them, to be honest.
Yeah, it could serve as a little reality check that, you know, as much as we're favourites, we're not going to just coast through to it. We're going to have to play well.
Good on Pakistan for coming back, though. I think they hadn't won a game in something like 12 games or something.
That's right. Yeah.
So, yeah, good bounce back from them, which is good. And then, yeah, I suppose the other thing about the World Cup is, you know, well, how many unbeaten sides are there now? Just sort of throwing that in there. I think it's New Zealand, Australia and India. But then again, India have only played one game, right?
Don't get me started on that, you.
Go on, Dan, give us your feeling. Tell us how you really feel.
Well, I'll ask Kev. Kev's got skin in the game here with a good lady wife from India. What do you make of this? The fact that India gets special treatment? Just in case people aren't aware, India asked for special dispensation to start the game, their games in the World Cup late because of the IPL, and they wanted extra time to acclimatise.
Yeah, so I saw that. I guess the bit I don't really get is that there isn't a nation in this World Cup who didn't have players playing
the IPL. Absolutely, yeah.
So, giving that dispensation just to India just doesn't make sense. Yes, they've got more players there because of the limitations on overseas, but there's still only 15 in their squad. There are a lot, you know. So, yeah, I don't really get that. Do I think it makes a big difference? No, probably not. So I'm not overly bothered by it. It's definitely strange at this stage to see a table where you've got teams that have played three and teams that have played one. It doesn't give as an observer, as a spectator, a pretty clear picture as to what's happened in the tournament so far. I don't think it gives India a particular advantage, though, no.
Well, I mean, the thing I see where you're going with that. There's two points I'd say, though. First of all, it's the process, not the outcome. Why should India be treated differently? You know, if you want to change the IPL dates, do so. You know, these dates have been set in stone for a long time. But secondly, you know, certainly the weather is much more patchy now than it was this time last week. And it's not beyond the realms that India could have more games rained off as a result of having a delayed start, because, of course, the weather's been fantastic up until now. So, I mean, if there's a week's rained off cricket, India suffer more than anyone else because they will have more games that are rained off. And I mean, admittedly, the rain thing is always a little bit erratic. It might rain in Southampton, but not in Nottingham. But I just think it's the wrong message. I've never known an international tournament in any sport where a country gets treated like this. And it may, of course, be because the people who made the decision in the ICC are quite keen to keep India happy.
I guess the key thing is, if it does rain, they've had an extra 2 weeks to prepare, so you think they've got brollies.
That's true. I mean, I would don't want to call Kevin Keegan on you here, but I would love it if it was like 10 degrees and they're all out there in three jumpers. You know, yeah. If you'd come last week, fellas, you'd have been in short sleeves. But, I mean, you know.
Who's playing tomorrow? Because the forecast for tomorrow does not look good.
Sri Lanka and Pakistan, I think. Definitely Sri Lanka.
Yeah. Looks like it's bucketing down tomorrow, specifically here in London anyway. I don't know about the rest of the country.
Do you not think that's a classic World Cup game? You know, I would never really, no disrespect to either side, I'm not gonna tune on at 10 o'clock at night to watch this necessarily, but I'll watch it tomorrow. Looking forward to it. You know, looking forward to seeing whether Pakistan carry on their good run. It reminds me of World Cup football in a way. I mean, you watch Qatar play the UAE. Oh, yeah, bring it on. Would you ever watch it?
Well, exactly, yeah.
No, but I'm all over tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Kev, have you learned anything in the past 10 days about the World Cup? Is there anything that you think, okay, that's worth bearing in mind moving forward, or is it gone more or less as you thought it would?
Oh, so blimey, that's a bit of a poser there. What have I learned? Probably not a great deal.
Okay.
I know there's been a lot of debate about, you know, obviously I wasn't in the last podcast, but listened to it about the kind of the formats and the tens and the eights. But I've just enjoyed it. I think you know what we've seen is that. Even with the 10, you know, we still had massively one-sided games. So for me, that strengthens the case of limiting how many teams there are. But just enjoyed it. I can't unfortunately give anything particularly insightful on that question.
No, that's fair comment. I mean, I've really enjoyed enjoyed it. I mean, the one-sided games, you know, they could happen in any format of cricket, of course, but certainly England-Pakistan was a fantastic game. West Indies-Australia was a really good game. Even, you know, the bangers against New Zealand, that was a good game. I didn't see much of that one, but certainly following it. So, you know, these good games of cricket are, you know, they're fantastic. So long may it continue.
Tell you one thing I've learned is my predictions are looking pretty good.
Talk us through them, Hugh. Go on.
Well, I've always said that England, Australia, India and West Indies are going to be in the semis. I'm still sticking to that. Even though, you know, I know that now that the West Indies have lost the game, I still think that that's pretty good, especially the way West Indies dealt with, you know, the opposition in the first game. I thought that was, you know, pretty good.
Well, you say lost a game, but if you lose three and win six, you're through.
Yeah.
So you know, everyone has got a couple of games to spare there. I mean, I sort of assume that India and Australia are not going to lose many. I think England are not. I mean, if England lose four, they deserve to go out, quite frankly. But West Indies, I think West Indies are interesting. I think they've got the ability to beat anybody. And I'm going to keep, you know, keep a firm eye on them. Yeah. I think they could be one of the outsiders, as you said, Hugh, to be fair.
Yeah.
One other thing about the World Cup, folks, before we come back to matters at home. What we do get, of course, is a wide array of people talking about the World Cup, whether you're listening to TMS or the Sky team or anywhere else in the world. You're going to get lots of commentators who have different ways of talking to you about the game. Now, as with most things, cricket, there are some I like and some I don't like. I could go onto rant mode here, but I'm just going to throw this one open. Who are the best commentators, folks? If you could pick two to talk you through a game, who would you go for and why? Kev, do you want to kick off on that one? Who'd you like? Who talks to you in a way that makes sense? Present company accepted, obviously.
Well, Kev's thinking about that.
Kev's pondering, isn't he?
Yeah,
definitely silence.
Yeah. I'll go one from the old era and one from the new era. I'll go with Richie Beno from the old era, mainly because, you know, I remember watching games in South Africa at funny hours of the night when, you know, obviously it's a completely different time in Australia. And he was obviously one of the commentators that I grew up with from the old era. And then I have to say from the new era, I'm really enjoying Athers, Mike Atherton.
Yep.
He's doing phenomenal work, I think. So yeah, it's good from that point of view to have him in. What about you, Dan?
Well, I think they're great choice. I mean, Richie Beno is the Rolls Royce of cricket commentators for me. I mean, I think too many of these commentators have too much to say, to be honest. Kev, are you still with us?
I am, yeah. Sorry, I got kicked
good
off.
Good man. Yeah, we'll let you back in now. Just basically just said that he would pick Richie Beno and he'd pick Mike Atherton. And I'm just saying, I think, you know, a Rolls Royce commentator, Richie Beno, the creme de la creme, never felt obliged to say too much, was a friend of silence, would let you watch the game, and would only say things that offered genuine value added. And I just thought that was fantastic. And much like you, I grew up with that, and his voice was just purred cricket.
Yeah.
I totally buy Atherton. He talks sense to me. He says things I don't think of. I actually quite like Bumble. I don't know if that's in any way left field. I think he is quite a funny guy, to be fair. When he wants to, he does add a little bit of substance. And I think that's great. I quite like Nasser Hussain. I quite like Rob Key. I think both of them, in their own way, tell me things I hadn't really thought of. And that's one of the things I look for. But they don't talk too much. People who get on my nerves don't appear to watch much of the game. Henry Blofeld. I cannot stand Henry Blofeld, I'm afraid. I really don't give a monkey's about big red double-decker buses going past the Grace Gates. You can, you know, it's not a revelation to me that planes land at Heathrow Airport and they fly over Lords. So I wish he'd watch the game a bit more. And when he does watch the game, he just becomes a bumbling wreck. And, he, you know, oh, I say, he doesn't actually tell me anything when I'm listening on the radio. So Blofeld would be public enemy number one. I don't really do David Gower. I think he just meanders on and waffles away and quite frankly never ends a sentence, which I find quite galling. And anyone who doesn't give me, you know, I don't need them to tell me what I've just seen. I need them to analyse it and give me a little bit extra. So that's where the Hussains and the Rob Keys, I think, are pretty good. Kev, where are you on all this?
Absolutely with you on Bumble. I think that's a personality thing. I don't take things too seriously, and neither does Bumble. So I definitely enjoy that. And he knows his cricket inside out. And also, he gives a different aspect because he looks at it from an umpire's view, which I think is quite interesting because a lot of commentating is actually analysing decisions and what's happening out there. So, big fan of Bumble.
I think that's a fair call, actually. I didn't really think of the umpire's perspective, but he does. You're right. That's a very fair call.
Yeah, he's the only way that looks at it from that perspective, which I found quite interesting. Obviously, especially in the shorter format, in terms of giving that connection to the crowd and giving that bit of theatre, yeah, I think Bumble's probably pretty peerless in that. I did see a tweet from him, a lot of people tweeting him saying, you know, are you involved in the World Cup? And he said, no, haven't been asked to commentate. So he's just sitting at home doing nothing.
That's unbelievable.
That is really odd. Yeah, no, I heard that as well. Do we know why?
Broadcasting rights. Maybe it's handled centrally by the ICC and they picked certain people from countries. I don't know, but I was amazed at the tweet. He said, no, just wasn't asked. So he's just sitting probably in his allotment. He loves his vegetables.
Where does Danny Morrison sit for you guys in commentating?
Well, we don't get much of him, Huge. Yeah. The only time I've heard Danny Morrison has generally been when we've been away in New Zealand, which normally is midnight kickoff. So being brutally honest, I'm not totally up to speed. I mean, he's a bit, he's an excitable chap, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, where do you stand there?
But in my mind, yeah, he's neither here nor there. But I do know that, you know, some people, it's like Marmite to him, you know. Yeah. Some people love him and some people think he's a buffoon. So, it's interesting.
Or quite possibly both. They might love him, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Depending on which one he's commentating on.
Yeah. I mean, I think people like Morrison, I'm likely to give him the benefit of the doubt. The people who annoy me are the people who don't appear to be thinking very much. Ian Botham, when he's bowling as a commentator, generally has about 17 fielders. He has 5 slips, 3 gullies. he has 4 people catching on the square leg badge. I mean, it just seems to... did you have a captain aside, Botham? I mean, and of course he did, captain England. But I don't feel that with his, you know, with the things he says. He doesn't really strike me as being on the money. But Botham, Kev, what's your take on him?
Tricky one. I love the fact that he gives a bit of attitude, you know, and he still behaves in the same sort of manner that made him, you know, the figure of hate from the Aussies, because he's got that passion in him. I agree. And there's a lot of harping back to what he'd do in his day. I think, especially when him and Mikey Holding are on commentating together.
And Shane Warne, gosh.
It's like reading through the annals of a history book, which isn't great. What we would have done in my day just is a bit.
Yeah.
I guess biggest thing, without being too ranty, a lot of hindsight, you know, had it today.
Yeah.
In the Windies game, I think an edge from Holder went for 4, and Mikey Holding said, oh, he had a slip in earlier, and I was thinking to myself, why wouldn't he have it for both batsmen? He'd have had a wicket now. I was like, well, that's not helpful, you know.
It's not analysis.
No, that's just... Yeah. Mr. Hindsight.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting point. I mentioned Shane Warne before, actually, and it just occurred to me, I don't know if you follow him on Twitter, but I think it was earlier this week, was the anniversary of when he bowled that famous ball to Mike Gatton in 1993, the one that sort
I
of
did
made,
see that, yeah.
Yeah, and he said, you know, oh, wow, it's 26 years to the day since I bowled that ball, and apparently he's put that tweet on every year for the last 7. Oh, wow, it's 25 years since I bowled. Oh, wow, it's 24 years. It's like, Shane, I thought you'd have realised you bowled it by now. You'd be telling everybody exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
One last thing on commentators, if we're moving on, Dan. Who was the guy that didn't know the rules that if it's umpire's call, you keep the review? Which umpire, which commentator was that?
Oh, I missed that. Was that in the game today? Or
Yesterday. One of the guys didn't know that, and again, this is, you know, commentators are. I think Amos brought it up actually in one of the WhatsApp groups. He was like, pretty sure these guys get paid to do their job.
Absolutely.
How the hell do you not know that this is what the rules and regulations are? If it's umpire's call, you don't lose the review if you review it.
And I like the way that, you know, certain people will say Dominic Cork said, "I've never seen him play." well, what the hell are you getting paid for then? You know, well, you know, you should have seen him play. You should have actually done some, you know, heaven forbid, preparation. And I just think that sometimes they don't really get what they're there for. There we go. Guys, always interesting. I could talk about commentators till the cows come home, but we'll move on. A bit closer to home. You had a funny old game on Saturday, the twos, didn't you, at East Coast? Do you want to talk us through the state of affairs there?
Yeah, probably one of the more random games I've been involved in with having nine fielders for a lot of it. Obviously, the opposition did help us out for a few of those overs and gave us a 10th player. But, in the third over of the game, it's the first time I've ever played at East Coast for one.
It's not the worst place in the world to play, is it, East Coast? I was quite like playing there, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a nice ground. Interesting because there's trees in the field. But what I didn't really come to understand was the undulations that they have in the outfield. Now, I'm not saying that our outfield is any good, or I'm not throwing stones in glass houses here. But yeah, I mean, you know, unfortunately, what happened is we lost the toss. We were put in the field to bowl, and guy played a very good cricket shot, hit one of these undulations, and hit one of our fielders, Rishi, straight on the nose. But you know, obviously, no time to react. Pretty much hit him square in the face. And probably, you know, without being too gory, the most amount of blood that I've ever seen come out of somebody's face.
Nice.
Yeah, it was not a pretty sight. And, you know, the obvious thing is, you know, cricket's a game we play for fun. The first thing we need to do is look after the player's safety. And Sanj took him off to the hospital. That happened in the third over. Sanj made his way back on the 38th over.
So you had nine men for the best part of 35 overs.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously the tough thing about losing those two players is they were two of my bowlers. You know, East Coast, I have to say the guy that scored, you know, the 138 that he scored not out was flawless. It was one of the better innings that I've seen. He played some fantastic cricket shots. So it was a tough all day. It was really hot. So, you know, fielding, getting that in, this fielding restrictions are obviously tougher as a captain because, you know, you're used to having, well, the rules are you have to have four in, irrespective of how many players you have on the field. it was an interesting day for me and the team. I think we didn't do ourselves too badly. You know, they did score 341, but as I said, it was a good batting pitch. And then, we scored, I think, 230-odd. So lost by, you know, 100 runs. But given the circumstances, I think there is much more or a lot more positives to take from that game. And that's what I said to the guys in the change room afterwards. So, yeah, it was...
There was a point in your chase, Huge, where one member of your team tweeted, "We need 113 off the last 10. Huge is in, and for those who don't know, you can hit a long ball. And Rishi's returned. And Rishi, of course, is a batsman as well as a bowler. I think the phrase, Kev, was risen from the flames. We're in this. And we could sort of see it in the pavilion. We could feel it. And then, 5 minutes later, Kev, you tweeted again, right?
5 minutes later.
Or you messaged again.
I've been in and got out and managed to get my phone back. Yeah.
And I think everyone else has been in and been out as well, haven't they? Is that right? Was it three wickets in four balls?
Three wickets in four balls, yeah.
But it was a classic message where we thought, hello, this could be a really odd victory because, you know, if you two get going, and just as I told everybody that you'd messaged us, you messaged us again, so forget it, guys, we're on the way home, which was a bit disappointing, but only because, you know, we sort of know that on a flat deck with two batsmen in, you've got a type of side, Huge, haven't you, that can score quite quickly.
Yeah, I have to say, when I was out there, when I saw Rishi come back and against doctor's orders said he's going to come in. Well, not against doctor's orders. It was advised. So let's put it that way. Came in. You know, we were going pretty well. We were scoring eights, nines, at an over. So you know, pushing it up to tens was well within sights. And I think, you know, unfortunately, I got bowled by a pretty good ball. Okay. I'd like to think the celebration sort of said it all. You know, I'm really looking forward to playing East Coast back at our place. I think it'll be a good game of cricket, and not because of any, you know, anything other than it was a really good game of cricket with two very good sides. So,
Just that one of those sides had nine men, which does make a difference.
Huge, can we just very briefly discuss my wicket?
Did you hit it, Kev?
No, I was just going to take it back a step. So obviously, you know, when I came in,
talk us through this, Kev. I don't know this one, Kev. So what, you batted where? What position?
Eight, I think.
Okay.
I'm not a very good player. But hopefully you'll find this funny. Walked in, got a lovely bit of advice from Huge. In very confident phrase, he says, Kev, this guy is hooping it. He is bowling reverse swing like I've never seen before.
Wow.
So watch it carefully. It's all away from you. Just make sure you keep your eye on it. My second ball, I was clean bowled by an in-swinging Yorker.
Oh, dear.
Apparently he has another ball, Kev.
Yeah.
I did say that to Rishi, actually. I was like, I just told Kev that, by the way. Whatever happens, just play it. Because I can't give any more advice after that happened.
Yeah.
So see it hit it. Just see it hit it. Yeah.
If we do bat together on Saturday, come what may, Huge, can we not talk if we meet in the middle?
We can, just not about cricket or what's happening with the ball.
I'm pretty sure I was out first ball as well anyway.
Something like that,
These things happen, Kev. You know, back yourself, see it hit it, all that nonsense. I was going to say, if it's any help, and it won't be, but I'll mention it anyway. I see Enfield Ones this week. They were 9 for none, and then 9 for 5, and then 10 for 6. So as collapses go, it certainly wasn't the worst collapse in a Middlesex league this weekend. Because I thought that was pretty impressive to go from 9 for none to 10 to 6.
Wow.
Yeah. In other news, the Fours, they march on, played 4-1-4.
Looking very good, yeah.
They are looking good, aren't they? And I know Meron Iqbal's back this weekend, who, for those who don't know, is one of the gun fourth team players. He's been away up until now. So, you know, they'll be looking. I think they'll play in Indian Gym, who are another good side. So, good to see how they get on. The Fifths, in our next podcast, we're going to speak to Chris Wilde, the skipper of the Fifths, about his experiences. Unfortunately, they've been very consistent, and they are currently played for, lost for. Did you speak to any of their guys about events at the weekend, folks? What do we need to know there?
That answers it, I think.
I'll
help you along there, folks. I think they were about 160 odd all out, which you know, not the worst score in the world. And I think the Oppo, Old Actonians, I think it was, got them for 7 down. So the one thing I would say is they keep getting close.
Yeah.
And they really do keep getting close. They just haven't quite got over the line yet. So I've got a feeling someone in Middlesex is going to get a whopping at some point. Someone's going to get beaten by 200 runs here. It just may be week 14 till we get there. But I think there's fair play to them. They've been in most of the games until pretty late on that they played. So
they really have. You know, they haven't been whooped by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think they've done themselves any favours. I didn't know if you had a look on Play Cricket, Dan. Out of the 146 that Acton scored in the chase, how many do you think were wides, given there were 32 overs?
Oh, no, I noticed this. I think it was something approaching 51. Is that right?
Spot on. 51 wides out of 146 runs.
That's... Well, I think someone somewhere has got to have get a grip on this, because if anything that misses the leg stump is going to be a wide, in lower 11 cricket, we're going to be playing cricket till midnight.
Mm.
But
it's the same for everyone.
Well, it is, but does it need to be? Is that
fair
definite?
Enough, yeah. 57 extras from Actonians.
Yeah.
So it's playing a big part.
Absolutely. I mean, it just struck me as, I don't know, you could surely come to some sort of agreement where, it, you know, just missing leg stumps, not a wide. Not in 15 cricket, surely.
That's 90 wides in a game.
90 wides.
So of 300 runs, or of 280 runs, 90 of them all were extras.
Mm. Well, if you add all the extras, it's 120 extras.
Wow. Okay.
Now, there can't be too many games in Middlesex where there have been that many wides in that proportion. I don't know the answer, but given I'm a pretty sad individual, I might even try and find out.
I bet you would love that. You would really enjoy that.
Leave it to me, chaps. I will see what I can do.
Yeah.
Last but not least, moving forward, guys, what are we thinking this weekend? Obviously, it's the last round of
One-day cricket.
One-day cricket, as it were, 45 or 50 over cricket for the Ones. Huge. Where are you guys? You're at home, I guess.
Yeah, we're at home against MTSSC, I think they call it.
Oh, Middlesex Tamils.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. Obviously, getting back on the horse with 11 players. So, yeah, looking forward to it. In actual fact, we've got two home games in a row, Dan. So I'm really looking forward to the next 2 weeks.
Fantastic. Oh, and you've got, I think Tamils, they've won three, haven't they? They've had a
They have. Start. They're above us in the log. So we're fourth at the moment. They are third, having got some bonus points from their one loss that they've had.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So they are third on 32 points. And then obviously, I think it's, let's go Stanmore and obviously East Coast are the two teams that have been unbeaten.
Yeah. And you do you play Stanmore next week? Is that right?
Yes. Well, the week after Middlesex Tamils, yeah.
Yeah, so they keep on coming for you guys.
Absolutely, ooh, yeah.
That's a big couple of games, yeah.
Yeah. And so availability-wise, are you looking good?
Yes, let's go with that. A number of players are away. The lovely thing about Twickenham and the club that we love is that, when people are away, there's other people that are available to play. So you select your best 11, you go out and give it all, and we move forward.
Yep, absolutely. Definitely the way to look at it. The first team, they travel to Hampstead. The first have had a bit of a tough trek, haven't they? A tough trot, rather. They conceded 290 on the green on Saturday, couldn't chase it down. Hampstead not had the best of starts this season, so I'm guessing that they're going to be focusing on this one to try and sort of get back on the horse a bit. Is that what you're hearing from Carlos?
Yeah, you? Absolutely. Yeah, obviously he's very keen to get back on winning terms. I think what's it won? He's won one so far. So we're making sure that we're backing him 100%, giving him the players that he needs for the weekend, and we're looking forward to them bringing 10 points back from Hampstead.
Mm. Cool.
Hopefully interesting point on that. Dan, after Nets, we were just catching up at the clubhouse today, and Middlesex have sent pretty much the entire first team squad out to play club cricket this Saturday. So Ollie Rayner from Middlesex is playing for Hampstead on Saturday. Max Holden.
I think it's all the batters, right, Kev? It's all the batters that are playing this weekend. They all need
with
to get
the except yeah. With the exception of Ollie Rayner, who plays for Hampstead.
Yeah. So they've rested the seamers, but all of their top order are playing somewhere in the Prem, pretty much. So that's be interesting to see if that creates any anomalies or unusual results.
Yeah. Can I ask a question about that? Does any other county do that? I quite like that from Middlesex.
Yeah, they do use. Yeah, okay. The thing is, clubs I think have to realise what's going on here, and being brutal, the Middlesex guys. In the Middlesex County League, they don't really care who comes bottom, and I can't blame them for doing that. They're in the business of trying to get Middlesex as high up Division 2 as they can and doing as well as possible in one-day cricket. So, I mean, I'm a little surprised that Ollie Rayner's playing for Hampstead because he played for Middlesex in the week, but they got well beaten this week, so maybe it's a case that the batters need to get out there and get some runs and Rayner needs to get a few overs under his belt. So, I think I get where we fit in this, and the answer is we help them get their players up to speed. And certainly in Birmingham, which is the place I know best, then the Warwickshire and Worcestershire players will play periodically for clubs as well. They argue about which clubs they should play for, just as we do here. But it's a useful tool for most of the first class counties to get batters in the runs a little bit. They do protect bowlers a lot. They don't want bowlers going out and bowling 15 overs and potentially doing themselves injuries. So if you really want to be strategic about it, you try and get a batter, and you'd ideally try and get a batter who's not really in the first team. But certainly Middlesex, that they allocate the players. We don't go with a shopping list. That's not the way. And I think that's pretty much the same around Britain. I think it's also the same in Australia. Australia would, they'll get players to play grade cricket if it suits them. So, I've spoken to plenty of Australians who've, turned up and Ricky Ponton's at the other end or whatever, and it might seem ludicrous, but if they need a bat, why not do it there?
Yeah.
Does it not happen like that in SA? How do the first class players get practice there?
I actually don't remember, Dan. It was a long time ago since I played cricket there. I'll put it this way, when I was playing, I never played with any of the provincial guys. So, yeah, maybe it is different. I'd be interesting if anybody that's listening knows that answer from South Africa.
And I was just about to say, any feedback that people might have from elsewhere around the country as to how this works, I'd be really interested to know. I mean, certainly you can feel that things are not quite working for you? I mean, Tom Helm's done pretty well for Middlesex this year, and I think they'll be less keen for him to play club cricket. And of course, he's the guy we've been allocated. I mean, Eskenazi's playing this week, and he's clearly one of their gun batters. You literally is a case of you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Looking at the threes, threes play Uxbridge this week. Kev, are you spoken to Watsy at all? Is he positive mood about this one, or any thoughts?
Is it in a Watsy mood? Is probably the best way to say it.
Right.
I think look, the side's got a core of what you would want there. I think it seems to have been a bit of a seamless holiday this week. I think seven, maybe eight out of the original kind of three squad for this year from the seam bowling brigade are away. So I think there's definitely a bit of a struggle in that department. But you know, I did have a chat with him about the initial team that's looking there, and you know, there's plenty of talent there that can win a game for you. You know, if Ajmal, Anu, and T Hill, you know, they're three names that at threes level can win a game for you if they fire. Yeah. So,
well, I have to say the threes. I mean, I clearly wasn't there, but that good result last week went over to North Middlesex fours, and as we were saying, you know, they play somewhere near Sweden, so it was a bit of a trek. They all went on the tube, and they hit the ground running, and I think it was a pretty impressive performance. I hear Ajmal batted very well. Ajmal Aladad, for those who don't know, are from Afghanistan originally, got prodigious talent. I mean, truth probably hasn't really lived up to it, but he. You know, he's looking good this year. I think there's runs there, and it was great to see him getting 60. And I think the threes not in a bad place, to be honest.
They're not. They're fourth in the league.
They're also fourth here.
Yeah. So. The challenge they've got is that you know Ealing and Bronsbury are looking potentially a cut above, but you know they play each other this weekend, so one of them's got to fall back into the pack. So,
makes sense. I don't look at the table too much. Win more than you lose, and you'll be somewhere near the top. You know, have a look at the table in 6 or 7 weeks' time.
Yeah.
Which I always said, and of course, never did. You know, looked at the table 16 times a day. So, case of listen to me, don't do what I do. Guys, I think we're close to rounding up here. Do you want to finish off? Any last things you want to throw at us, Hughes? Anything else going on that we need to know?
Yeah, I think what we should do for the next podcast, Dan, is, and maybe this is a prequel to what we're going to be talking about next week, is the Fantasy League. You know, it's going quite well. Yeah. So, yeah, that'll be good. Listen out for it next week. It'll be a goodie.
Super. I think that makes a lot of sense. Kev, just going to throw one to you. I know you were doing a bit of playing about with batting stats and bowling stats, and you came up with a nice factoid that can we end on that one, talking about batting averages and who is particularly shining this year with the bat?
I mean, that doesn't make it sound like I spend my spare time in the most exciting manner there, but thank you for that. No, I was playing around on Play Cricket, and I noticed that four games in, our league batting averages are topped by obviously Phil Nash, an unbeaten 100 tends to do that for you.
Yep.
But second is none other than Hine Dasani.
So Hine Dasani is second in the batting averages for that entire club in league cricket.
Remarkable stat. Average is 69.
Yeah, well, should we talk in 4 weeks and see where we are with this?
Can you imagine if this situation hasn't changed? To the West Indies management, get him in.
Yeah, I am actually Marlon Samuels reincarnate. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, Hine, keep up the good work if you're listening, mate. That's fantastic. And everyone else, please, for goodness sake, score some runs so that we can change this anomaly. Guys, as always, it's been a pleasure. And looking forward to seeing how you all go this coming weekend. Thanks very much.
Sounds good. Cheers, Chief.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, fellas.